Welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. Find it on iTunes and now Acast through your podcast app, or subscribe via the feed link on the website. This week, hat pains, chainmail, parcels through the post, and knitting is good for your brain. But you knew that. Hello and welcome to episode 63. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. I hope you've had a good week or 10 days knitting. I'm managing to get this one out a little bit sooner than the previous few have come out. I've got quite a lot to say today because I've had quite an interesting couple of weeks or week or 10 days of knitting. I hope you have too. I hope you didn't have any adverse effects from the snow. I'm about ready for spring now, I have to say. Spring in the natural world often means babies, and I have a cousin who's due to become a dad in April. So I have been knitting, as you'll know if you've listened to the last couple of episodes, a baby sleep pod for their baby. I've finished the actual pod. If you are at all interested in the trials and tribulations of the pattern that I chose and why I chose it and the issues that I faced and the problems I couldn't solve, then I suggest you listen to episode 62. This pod comes with a hat. Excuse me, I still have the very vestiges of my cold, which I hope won't interfere with things too much. If you look on Ravelry at the pattern for the pod, which is called the Owly Sleep Sack, in the verbiage, she has a little link that says there's a matching hat here. And that's a separate blog entry. I think, if memory serves me, the entry on Ravelry, rather than being a Ravelry download, it links to her Blogspot page. And from there, she links to the page for the hat. So many of the people who have knitted the pod haven't actually knitted the hat as well, for whatever reason. And, well, I doubt they were as ham-fisted as I was, but my goodness, have I made a meal on it of it. So the hat is knitted on bigger needles. I was explaining before that I had to go down a whole millimetre of needle in order to get the right gauge for the sleep pod. So I just chose bigger needles using the, you know, in relation to the needles I'd used for the actual sleep sack, which I think was my 4mm KnitPro Nova Cubics, but they turned out to be too small. Now, I didn't discover this until I had done all the cable rounds. And, you know, doing lots of cable with Aran yarn on 4mm needles, it's a bit of a wrestling match. But I was measuring bits of it, because I was thinking, as I was handling it, I was thinking, this is feeling a bit small. I mean, I was going to refer to babies' heads as delicate. Well, we know what they go through to be born, so in some senses, they're not at all delicate. But when your baby is new, their little heads just feel like eggshells. And I wouldn't have fancied the thought of trying to cram that onto a baby's head. That was just as I was kind of eyeballing it, thinking, And then I actually bothered to measure the gauge and realised it was too small. When I say all the cable rounds, because of the way this owl pattern works, there are 3 actual cable rounds, which cover something like 25 rounds, maybe not quite that many, maybe 17, 18, 20 rounds in total. So I went up to the 4.5 KnitPro Nova short tips, which I was given for Christmas. I'm not sure if I've used them for anything yet, but I was certainly quite pleased to give them a whirl. And this time I actually swatched. I didn't fancy going through all the cable rounds again, just on the off chance, especially because it's not just the cable rounds, to be fair. The decrease is an SSK, and I always find that I don't know if I'm always using needles slightly on the small side because I like that closer knit or what, but I always seem to find that I have to pull the yarn so hard to make sure it doesn't pop out when you're actually bringing the needle through to make the new stitch. So I didn't want to have to do all that again as well and then discover that I'd got the gauge wrong. So I actually swatched. And I discovered that my horizontal gauge was fine, so that's how many stitches you have per inch. But my vertical gauge was wrong. I found that quite interesting. I presumed that if one was right, the other would be right. But I think I'm learning that you can't make too many assumptions in knitting. So I thought perhaps there was a standard approach to dealing with vertical gauge. So I googled it. I found quite an interesting page on this, which I'll link to. It was on craftsy.com, and it was about an approach to dealing with a vertical gauge, which is heavens above, I can't think in these terms. If my vertical, did I have too many or too few? I think I must have had too many. I just can't do it. My brain just cannot do it. Anyway, yes, because the advice is take out vertical rows if it won't screw up your shaping. So if something tells you to knit 20 rounds, but your gauge is coming up a bit on the big side, if you can, take out as many rounds as will get you onto the right gauge, but it really depends what you're knitting. If you're knitting a jumper and you're talking about the length of the jumper, or you're doing shaping rounds, then just taking out rounds willy-nilly has the potential to really cause havoc with the shaping on your garment. So it really depends what you're doing. Now, fortunately for me, on this hat, partly, you know, it's a baby hat, it's not absolutely critical, but also the way that the pattern is written, in a couple of places it tells you to do an inch of stocking stitch, for instance. So that's great, because if for me an inch is 4 rounds and for someone else it's 6 rounds, as long as your stitch gauge is right, that doesn't really make any difference, because it's the measurement that you're after, not the number of rounds. This hat has an inch of stocking stitch after the first cable rows, so that was all fine. Using short tips, I've come to the conclusion, is harder on the hands. I think it's quite an odd experience. I remember reading a review a long time ago of some short tips, and the person writing it was saying that it's really odd to have just your fingers round a needle rather than feeling the needle going through your palm. Now, I almost without exception use circular needles, even if I'm knitting flat, because I just find them light and relatively small. So I like it that you're not dealing with a huge great knitting needle that reaches to your elbow. I know some people actively like that. They tuck the needle under their sort of between their elbow and their rib cage, and that is how they knit, and terrific, you know, good for them. Personally, I like smaller needles, but short tips are shorter again, and I'm not entirely sure. I don't think I would choose them. I think if I had a choice between short tips or the same needle that I was happy with in a regular interchangeable size, I would definitely take the regular size. The other thing I've noticed, I mean, I have been doing a lot of knitting recently, I must hold my hand up to that, but I think they're harder on the hands, because I noticed that for much of this year I haven't had nearly so much hand and wrist pain, as because it really became quite an awkward pain in the pinny last year. You know, it was really affecting how much I could knit. This year, I don't know if it's just because I ended up having a bit of not a break completely, but I didn't have the manic knitting up to Christmas in the way that I have done before. It's been a little bit more measured this year, although that's all changing, as you'll hear later on. But I wonder if that's just allowed my wrists to and my hand to heal, I suppose is the word. I've also consciously been breaking it up more. Previously, I might just sit there knitting for 2 hours and barely look up. As a friend of mine said once, when she'd completed this fantastic crochet bag, she said, "I didn't make eye contact with anyone for 3 days." I think we all know what that's like. So my hands have been better, but I've been feeling a lot more pain recently. Just in the last sort of week, and I personally think it's partly down to these short tips. I think you hold them, well, it just gives you a different dynamic through your hands and your arms. So I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I'd be very interested to hear. So anyway, so I've had a first attempt at this hat, and I've had to completely unravel that because it was going to be too small. So I've cast on again, I've swatched, I've cast on again with the larger needles, I've sussed what I need to do, well, or that in this case there won't be an issue with the vertical gauge being wrong, because the pattern is given in measurements rather than number of rounds. So I start again, I cast on. I've come to the conclusion by this stage that I'm not sure I actually like the hat. As I've said before, most of the pictures show the baby without the hat, so I was thinking, oh, am I even going to bother? And then I thought, well, yes, because I think it's quite a sweet idea that, you know, you're clothing the baby from the feet up and then you're putting the little hat on and it's kind of from the top down as well. It does feel like it finishes, you know, the little set. So, all right, okay, fine, I'll just finish this. But I was thinking at the time, God, next time I do one of these pods, because I'm planning to do one for another cousin who herself is becoming a mum in the summer, I was basically going to do her the same thing. And I'm wondering whether I might just knit a plain hat to go with this one, because I'm actually not sure. I haven't finished the hat yet, because I've been around the houses with it a few more times, but I'm not actually sure that when it comes to the hat, that all this hassle is really worth the bother. And I do quite like the hats that just have a sweet little stocking stitch rolled edge, and then the sort of little knot tied on the top, like a little stalk. I know it's silly of me, but I find that rather sweet. But I thought, right, okay, well, I may as well make the flipping thing. So I cast on again. And I kept wondering, as I was knitting and referring to the pattern and having the odd look at the blogspot page, why my hat didn't have this big rolled edge. And I thought, oh, maybe it was one of those things that was optional. And I thought, you know, it could be quite sweet having it as a little sort of, I think of it like a little snowdrop type hat. So it just sort of drops onto the head. It's like a little acorn cup or something. It doesn't have this big rolled edge. It just sits over the head and sort of clings to it a bit. And I thought, well, I don't know, that could be quite sweet. I don't really quite understand that, but never mind. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. But it began to nag at me because I thought, I must have missed something. This is silly. Because I had another look at the Blogspot page and I noticed that on the page itself, the hat is shown with the edge unrolled, and there's a great miles of stocking stitch. So I had another look at the pattern, and up in the top, in the introduction to the pattern, it's simply a layout glitch, it must be. It says to the effect of knit 3 inches of stocking stitch. Now it's up in the blurb at the beginning of the pattern, it's not in the, you know, the round one, round two sort of actual instructions where they start. And I was so annoyed with myself because I hadn't read the pattern through like word for word, as I suppose you should do. But I was also slightly irritated that the editing hadn't been checked just to make it clearer. I do wonder how many other people have done that, or it's probably just me. And I thought, oh, sod it. I'm just going to finish it as it is. Never mind. It's my take on this hat. So I finished it, did all the decrease rounds, all the rest of it, and I was, I fumbled it at one point. I knew I had where, because I was doing it on Magic Loop, and where I had switched to the second needle, I knew I'd done something odd, but I looked and looked and looked, and I was randomly picking up strands of this and that, just checking that they weren't loose, and I couldn't find anything loose at all, and I thought, oh, fair enough, you know, I'm not quite sure what it was I did, but it seems that I've rescued it, fine, carried on, didn't give it a second thought, finished the hat, snipped my ends, wove everything in, put, as I think is natural with it when you've just made certainly a little hat, put my hand inside to just sort of stretch it out and have a look, and things started unravelling. I had dropped a stitch. When I'd fumbled it, I had dropped a stitch and I just hadn't seen it. Although I'd thought that might have been what I'd done and I had looked, I hadn't been able to spot it. So it had just sat there working its evil and this hat was sort of unravelling in my hands. And I just thought, oh, you know, okay, fair enough. It's decision made. So I unraveled it again, and this time I've cast on. I have knit my 3 inches of stocking stitch. I decided at first time, I thought, I'm just going to knit it in the purple, because where the pod is knitted, the purple is the chunk that's up at the top by, you know, the baby's shoulders. And I had thought, I'll just knit the whole of the hat in purple, and that's quite neat. But for no good reason, on one of my myriad previous attempts at the hat, I thought, oh, it might be quite sweet to make it stripy. So once I realised about the 3 inches of stocking stitch, I thought, right, them I'll do in purple, or the merlot as it is. The cable, the design, I will do in the crocus, and the top of the hat I will do in the cream or oat or whatever it's called. So that's what I'm doing, and I've done the first actual cable round itself, and so there we go. I did that sitting in the car last night, and I'm taking my son to karate tonight, so I imagine I will get the rest of the cable rounds done then, and then I've just got the decreasing to go. And honestly, I will really be quite pleased to see the end of this little hat. So, chainmail. This should come with a health warning. If you are planning to go into battle, I don't recommend knitted chainmail. However, if you're 9 and your grandma is taking you to a medieval storytelling event as part of a medieval fair, then knitted chainmail has something going for it. My mother had been saying to me for a while that she'd take my son to something, a workshop or something this coming Saturday, and I'd earmarked in my head that that's where he needed to be on Saturday morning, but I hadn't asked any more details. But I asked her a bit more about it when I spoke to her on Monday and discovered it's this medieval storytelling thing. And Mum was saying, oh, I've got a plastic sword somewhere, and I'm sure I've got a this and a that. And I just had a brainwave and said, I wonder if there are any knitted chainmail helmet patterns. I said, oh, I'll just have a look. Well, there are, but not many. There's a couple for children. There's several for adults, which is fair enough. And I looked at two. And the first one that I tried involves a yarn forward, slip stitch purlwise, knit a stitch, and then pass the slip stitch over the knitted stitch to make your hole for the chainmail. Trouble is, and I still don't understand, I have asked the designer, but she hasn't got back to me yet, that's effectively a bind off. And bringing the yarn forward, for me, simply bring yarn forward, is not creating an additional stitch or loop. So I wondered if, I mean, other people have knitted it absolutely fine, so it's just me being a muppet, but I wondered if a yarn over would work instead. But anyway, before, I wasn't sure, and time is sort of the essence, because it was Monday evening by this point and I wanted to have this thing finished by Saturday. I wasn't quite sure how long it was going to take me. So I thought, well, I'm not just going to do nothing while I wait. I had another route about, and I came across something that has been titled Monty's Knight's Helmet. It's in a project page rather than actually a pattern, because what this very clever lady has done is she's taken a balaclava pattern, a pattern simply titled Balaclava by Nikki Wall, and what this person, Nikki Knits, has done is she's adapted it or transformed it into a knight's, oh, there's a term for it, and I should know because I did medieval archaeology at university, but there we go. It's so imagine a balaclava shape with a short cape that protects, if you like, the neck and shoulders. And so she has put it into garter stitch because that gives you that chainmail look, and she's added the cape, but she hasn't put really any detail in. And the basic pattern that the pattern that she based it on, balaclava, is no longer available online. So I used her instructions, which was basically how much you cast on, roughly how deep the neck rib should be, and then the crucial point about leaving stitches on markers at each end, because you go from knitting in the round to knitting flat, blah blah blah. Anyway, I won't try to rehash it here, but she gives you the basic instructions for knitting the very most basic element of the balaclava. And what I really, really like about this is that I had to work out the rest for myself, and I more or less did it, and it really made me feel that I'd actually, somewhere along the line of 5 or 6 years now of pretty concentrated knitting, had actually really learnt something. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about knitting being good for the brain, because that's been quite a hot topic recently, and you know, I wouldn't want that bandwagon to pass by without leaping on it. But it really was tremendously satisfying, because looking at, she's put a picture of her little boy wearing this thing, and it's got a rib section that frames the face, and I was trying to work out how that related to the rib section around the neck. And I thought, how, and also you've got this, when you're knitting the part that is covering the back of the head, you've got this neck section of rib in the round, and then you've just got this large flap, this long flap. Mine was about 27 centimetres by the time I thought I was about right to do the ribbing. You've got this large flap hanging off it, and I thought, well, how does that become something which clings round the face? And then it just came to me, obviously, you pick up stitches all the way around the edge, including, well, you don't pick up from the stitches on the stitch holder, you restore the stitches that are on the stitch holder, and then you just knit in rib for about an inch and a half, something like that, from that point on. And then in order to make the cape, which is my next stage, I will pick up the stitches around the shoulder edge of the collar as opposed to the chin edge, and I will start increasing from there. The only thing I'm not sure about is how much to increase by, because it needs to be a relatively sharp increase in order to give that nice sort of draped shape at the front and back. So that's going to be a little bit experimental, and I think I might put a lifeline in before I start, so that if I'm not happy, I can just pull out to that bit and try again, making, you know, the appropriate adjustments. So I've been very, very pleased at how I'm blowing my own trumpet here, which is something I don't think I do that much, but I was just, it's more a case of how satisfying it was to realise that over these 5 or 6 years of knitting, I've actually developed a few tools to help me understand. I mean, as you just heard a few minutes ago, I'm completely useless at trying to work out which way round gauge goes. Am I knitting too big or too small, and all the rest of it. I can't think in 3D, so there are many things that I can't do when it comes to knitting, and I do need my hand held, and I couldn't work out why this bring the yarn forward and pass slip stitch over and all the rest of it on the other pattern. I couldn't work out why all that was happening is I was binding off half my stitches rather than having nice loops. So I'm still very much bumping along the ground in many respects, but doing this pattern has been a little bit of a confidence booster. I mean, I haven't finished it yet, right enough, there's plenty of time yet to go wrong with it, but I've tried it on my son, and he's really excited about it. I wasn't sure. He's at that age now. I mean, he more or less told me I was an embarrassment in the playground yesterday because I was wearing some old jeans that are a bit on the big side and my daughter's old trainers, which are actually really cool Nike bright pink trainers that are in excellent condition and with loads of grit and all the rest of it around still at the moment. We've still got snow lying on the pavements around here. They weren't actually a bad choice, you know. I do normally aim for a slightly higher with sartorial elegance, but he's at that age where some things are, oh no, no way, Mum, not in a million years, and other things, oh, that's really cool, yeah, that sounds great. And he's right into the idea of this helmet, and I thought, actually, if it turns out all right, I might see if I can knock out a second one for the weekend, and then my mum will be able to kit out another little knight. So I've knitted, if I was just doing a balaclava, I would have finished now, because I've bound off all round the face. My next step now is to pick up all the stitches for the collar and go from there. But because I'm using the Grey DK, of which I have absolute oceans, and I reckon I'll have used the best part of a skein by the time I finish this, because I'm using it doubled. And I've got so many, I mean, at a glance, I could probably, you know, kit out a small army with balaclavas as things go. But once you start looking, there are actually loads of helmet patterns. There are Roman helmets and other things. And I thought, you know, you could have a bit of fun with that, really. But my mother's actually been asked to help run this workshop thing on Saturday, so it might be quite useful. I'll find out from her who runs it normally, because my mum, she's just been asked to step in because the person who normally does it can't do it, and it might be that it's useful to them to have two or three of these props. And they're very quick knits. Usually I'm a bit about picking up, because I find it's quite scrappy, it's not my best skill, but that was something else. I just didn't make a single mistake. I just picked up neatly all the way round, and it just worked. The only thing I had to do was, in order to keep the rib neat, because of course the stitches I was restoring from the stitch holders were already in rib from the rib at the neck, so I just added in a couple of stitches at a couple of points to ensure that my 2x2 rib remained uninterrupted. But apart from that, the picking up, it just went really well. So this whole project has been, well, so far, I'm probably about 3/5 of the way through it, has been quite a fillip. It's a bit late in the year now for balaclavas. I mean, here's me saying we've got snow on the pavements, you know. I'd like to think at the end of March, It's we're a little bit past balaclava time, unless you're somebody who's routinely out at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. But if you're certainly if you're looking for a little fun knit for a child or a grandchild, or they've got a project or a dressing update or a party or something like that, I think this pattern is absolutely brilliant. I highly recommend it. In fact, thinking about it, it's not actually a pattern. It's just something that Nikki Knits has adapted. But I've had to do my own adaptations as I've gone along. So I might release, wow, what a grand word. I might just stick in the show notes. I wouldn't bother with putting it on Ravelry. Ravelry doesn't need it. But I might just put the outline of, by the time I finish, just when I'm sure I've got the shaping right for the cape. And, you know, if anyone else is interested, they could give it a whirl. I was in the car one day last week, and my radio, or the aerial on my car, is very elderly. My car is very elderly. I have an elderly radio with an elderly aerial, and it hisses and spits at me a lot, and usually I can only get one or two stations, and I end up stabbing at the button as it scrolls through all the local stations just to see, find something to listen to if I haven't got organised to listen to a podcast. And I heard the very end of a comment about knitting being good for the brain. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I knew that. my last experience has sort of shown me that. But I thought, I wonder what has made it, was some local radio station that I don't normally listen to. And I was thinking, oh, I wonder what has particularly made the person say that. And I did a little bit of digging, and I found something on the BT website about five reasons that knitting is good for you. And it was a lot, it comes down to relaxation, concentration, using problem solving skills, a bit of dexterity, and so on and so forth. And I realised that must be where it's come from. And somebody on my Instagram feed just today, I can't remember her name, because it's one of those really complex compound names that's not actually any words, if you know what I mean. And I can't remember what it is. But she was apparently was on ITV's This Morning, I think yesterday. That would be Tuesday the 20th of March, talking about this and doing a bit of knitting on the air. So it's obviously very topical at the moment. And I'm wondering if this is because of a project that the BBC has recently released about creativity. And essentially, it's a questionnaire to find out how creative you are. It was quite interesting. So I did the quiz, and knitting is mentioned as one of the possibilities alongside other creative aspects such as writing, singing, pottery making, woodwork, composing music, all sorts of things. And as I answered the various questions, it made me realise how many positive feelings I feel, but also attribute to knitting, and I had never considered it before. And it's the feelings of satisfaction that I've had from working out what to do with this balaclava. I mean, it's like I've just invented warp drive, which is what my son wants to do. I'm, you know, hey, look at me, I can work out how to make a balaclava. You know, it's not going to save the world, but it made me feel good, because I don't have too many moments like that in my life anymore. And there were questions such as, does it make you feel part of something? And I thought, yeah, very much it does. It makes me feel part of the knitting community on Instagram, on Twitter, and to some extent on Ravelry, but I always feel like an extremely inferior partner on Ravelry because everybody else is so talented. But that was nice, because the knitting group that I go to is only once a fortnight, and we're not really in touch. Well, I'm not in touch with them. Many of them are in touch with each other because they have things in common that I don't have, like church and so on. But it's nice when I see them and I get on with them, but they're not in my daily life to feel part of that community. Ironically, I feel more of a community of people who I never meet. So that was interesting. I'd never thought about it before. Also, it presents me with a challenge. Sometimes that challenge is a little bit frustrating. Sometimes I give up altogether in the face of that challenge. Often, I must say, because many of the things I knit, I'm giving away. And if I feel I can't do a good job, I'd rather not give that thing. And if I'm not going to give it, what's the point in making it? So I like to think it's not just being completely useless and going, I can't do it. It's actually a case of, well, if this isn't going to work properly, there's just no point. The last one is the belief in my own abilities. Well, that can be shaky at the best of times, but every now and again I think, oh, you know, I can do this and people like the things, and that's really satisfying. So if I can find it again, this BBC quiz, I'll put a link to it. I don't know how long it's on for, but there's a creativity awareness week, you know, or something like that, that's on at the moment, and there's quite a lot online to be read and participated in about elements of creativity, because I don't consider myself to be a creative person, but I did think it was interesting that when my mum mentioned this medieval thing on Saturday, my response wasn't, oh, I must write a poem, or I must make a medieval dish for my son to take along. It was, I know, I'll knit something that makes him look very vaguely medieval. So if you like, my creative response to that situation was to pick up my needles and my yarn and come up with something, albeit very much piggybacking on what other people have done before me and the patterns that they've already put together. I had a nice little parcel in the week from Wool Warehouse. I think that might have been last Friday, something like that, anyway. And I've had the lovely yarn that I've ordered for making the second baby sleep pod. I talked about that yarn last week. It's lovely. I just think it's really summery. I put a picture of it on Instagram and I said it makes me think of strawberries and lemonade and ice cream and all sorts of other lovely things. The father of the baby is Zimbabwean, and I realised it's complete fluke, but the yarn has, there's quite a lot of different colours in the Zimbabwean flag, but the yarn has several of the colours in it, and I thought what I might do is just add in to the pod a couple of strands of the other colours every so often, just to give the impression, and I hope they just don't think, why did she suddenly put a bit of green and black here? I hope that it's apparent to them that that's why I've done it. So it's lovely to have that, and I'm very much looking forward to getting on with that. Of course, because this medieval helmet has leapt into my knitting list rather unexpectedly, I'm not quite where I thought I'd be. That and taking three goes to do the hat. I've really made life difficult for myself there. But I'm very much looking forward to starting to use this stripy flecked. I don't know what the proper term is, but I'm really looking forward to using it. I like yarns that change colour. I find they very much keep my interest if it's a pattern where you have got quite large expanses of stocking stitch. So I'm also interested to have a look around for little hat patterns as well, see what comes of that. I decided also, when I was placing my order with Wool Warehouse, that I would get myself a new cable needle. There's cabling in this Owly sleep sack and hat, and I've been using an old 4mm wooden DPN, which is fine, you know, it does the job, because I think I've dropped my cable needle, the one I was using, that would be the right size, down the gap in the middle of our sofa, which I've talked about before. It's a very hungry sofa. And I thought, right, sod it, I'm just going to get myself a new one. So I ordered a pair of KnitPro cable needles. I think one's blue and one's a sort of shiny pink, so they're a bit of fun. And when they arrived, I thought, oh God, I can hardly get them into my Notions bag. So I had a right royal clear out of my Notions bag. I put a picture of that on my story on Instagram. And one or two of the things in there have got a little bit of value for me, including the fact that my Notions bag itself is an old makeup bag from Miss Selfridge from the 1980s, so it's a bit of a vintage number itself. But it's brilliant now because I've got one pencil and one pair of scissors and things like that, and I much prefer having fewer things, but those things are all useful and I can see them and access them. So I'm very much enjoying now having a much more usable Notions bag. My circular needles bag is the next thing that needs attention, really, because I always keep the packets that new tips come in and new cables and things like that, thinking that it will help me to keep the bag tidier, but I'm not really sure it does. I just end up with a bag absolutely stuffed with all these little pockets with random needles and cables in, so I'm not sure about that. But it was very, very satisfying to give my Notions bag a clear out. But of course, the other night, I thought, who needs more than one stitch holder? Not me. So I just had one stitch holder in there. I haven't got rid of the others. I've just put them away. Well, I haven't actually put them away. They're in a heap on my desk. And then the other night when I needed to put the stitches from the front of the balaclava onto stitch holders, of course, I had to go off and rummage through the deep litter on my desk and find another stitch holder. But that's inevitable. It's just absolutely without question. Whenever I tidy up my knitting bag or whatever it is, I always, you can guarantee within 24 hours, I'm going to need something. But there we go, that's the way it goes, isn't it? Right, I've blethered on a bit today. Thank you for sticking with me. Hope you're enjoying your knitting, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye.